The gentleman that's going to be joining us, he's played as well in the biggest stadiums in the world. He's a Hall of Famer, and he gets that experience. And I'm sure for us, I work with Major League Baseball, still do actually, but got to travel to every stadium, be on the field. I've been on the field, with Troy Aikman, Steve Young, of course, Warren Moon. It is a special feeling, but I can't imagine what it is like to be a Hall of Fame kicker. And I am so excited for our next guest. He's a truly brother of mine. And the reason he's a brother of mine has nothing to do. I know tons of football players, but he has literally the biggest heart for the sake of other people. And I'm going to start off with the first question concerning that, because there's one thing I've never asked him, and I can't wait to ask him this question because I know you're going to feed off of it as well, James. Let's welcome to Celebrity Entrepreneur Show the incredible Hall of Famer, Nick Lowry.
Well, that was some of the nicest stuff I've ever heard. You bring tears to my eyes, man. I appreciate it. You know
Welcome.
why? Because it's sincere. I appreciate it.
You know it is, and you show up for so many people, including me, and James does the same. I visited Nashville and he took his very limited time to spend with me, and you're the same way, Nick. But I've been dying to ask you this question, but I didn't want to ask it when you're speaking, with a ton of people around. One thing that's remarkable about you, beyond your Ivy League education, beyond your heart and soul, is that I've been around the game of football as long as you have. I'm just not as good as you, but I've been around it as an agent and a marketer and a philanthropist of sports. Kickers are supposed to have nerves and emotions of steel. And one thing that I constantly think about is Nick Lowry is as emotional as I am. He will cry at the drop of a, he will cry at the drop of a dime. Like, how the hell did you control your natural emotions being a kicker? I could see you crying on the sideline if you missed. Is that why you made so many of them?
I would have to say that's actually you answered your own question. There's a very powerful incentive to not have that feeling of missing a field goal. I wouldn't cry, but certainly,
He said you cried, just for the record. Oh, you cried.
okay. But you just learn to manage your emotions as best you can. And maybe mine were a little bit more of a challenge because I was more present, but it's never the same. Every game's different. And so I don't know about James, but I do know that preparation and practice and preparation and practice and visualization, et cetera. In music, I was a drummer in a band called Moonshine way back, and I have a lot of musician friends. That's a flow. But as a kicker, the hard part of it is you're waiting on the sidelines, and you may be waiting for 2 hours in freezing cold weather. And so then you have to perform in 1.27 seconds. It's sort of like, I guess in music, the analogy would be you've got to hit a very, very, very difficult note in 1 second. And with no warm up,
I
right?
was
There's
gonna
no.
say, imagine doing that with no warm up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's beautiful that you care so much that you're the first one to be upset if it doesn't go well, or excited and proud when it does. It says a lot about who you are, and also makes a lot of sense as to why you are so successful. I truly believe that whether it's in music, business, sports, it comes down to you wanting to be there, appreciating the opportunity, and that more than anything is going to translate to the longevity and the real success. And of course, preparation. Success comes when preparation meets opportunity. It's one of the first quotes that I heard and went, that makes sense to me, and I've lived by ever since. So I love that you said that. And I continue to train. I can continue to prepare for everything that I have done and that I want to do, because there are so many other people that want similar things. And we have to look at this place of where we're at with humility and go, I'm grateful to be here. I'm lucky to be here. How do I stay here? Keep preparing, keep working my ass off.
And I think hopefully one of the nice things about getting older is you grow in your intuition, you grow in those fruits of the spirit, which feed creativity and which are independent of aging. That funny thing called wisdom. You go to the more important stuff, and maybe, just maybe, you come up with some new stuff, new harmonies, new music.
Well, speaking, sorry, that actually reminded me what one thing I was thinking of when David said you have, nerves of steel, and that's required
I
for your
don't know about
job.
that. But anyway.
But I love that, though, because, you know, the other side of my life outside of music and entrepreneurship is acting. And it used to be so much more difficult for me. I'm 35, started when I was much, much younger, been about 2 decades of doing this. Well, started training when I was 6, I guess. So almost 3 decades. But it used to be so much more difficult for me to cry, to tap into a place. And as silly as that may sound, like, well, actors should be able to cry. When you're in your 20s or teenage years,
yeah,
I didn't have the same experiences. I had painful experiences, but I couldn't necessarily tap into them, or I didn't want to at that point in my life. So to what you're saying, like, that is one thing that has gotten all too easy for me at this point, because I have so many more perspectives and experiences as an adult. I've tapped into a part of myself now in my mid-30s. And when it comes to being on tape, it comes to having to perform that scene.
Yeah.
It's almost too easy. Like, I'm almost too emotional for that moment. Now, yeah. Now the trick is not overdoing it and being able to pull back from tears.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine what will happen with music and acting, all things I do in the next 2-3 decades.
I would think that, speaking for myself, is just once you've accessed that, that's a pathway. And it has to be grounded and connected to something truly authentic. Like right now, I can feel myself. I could bring that in. Boom. Because it's so much more important than anything else I do. So it's my purpose, you know. And I actually, I get really emotional. I almost died 5 weeks ago. I was on the getting a ablation, reasonably straightforward surgery, where they put two wires up through your hip on either side through the femoral artery. And they use what's called a paralytic, and apparently, which I've never had any issue ever with all the different surgeries, I had an anaphylactic reaction, and my blood pressure went from 128 to 74. Now, I'm out when that happened. So the anesthesiologist, Dr. Levin, told me this the next day, that it went down to 50 over 50, and I was going to die. They had to give me epinephrine, and the nurses told me when I woke up. So I kind of feel like, you know, it just reinforces the idea that life can be taken at any moment. So do the things you love with the people you care about. And I really feel grateful for those reasons. I feel like I'm doing the things with people like David, people like Lee Steinberg, you know, that we're here to make a difference. I mean, we look at the problems today, the Charlie Kirk assassination, whatever reaction you have, it's just horrible. Working in Israel, all these intractable issues, somebody's got to just dig in and say, how do we come together? You know, the 80% that are common sense in this world that are not extreme, let's remind ourselves that we really are we have a lot in common.
So. I couldn't agree more. Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. No accounting for crazy, but beyond that, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show is you've written a book called Naked and Alone with 80,000 people. Obviously, an allusion to some great career events of yours and James, by the way, and it must be a thrilling experience, but in an existential way, as I study the Tao and so many other pieces of content that talks about I am, when I think about being naked and alone, I think about those three letters, those two words that significantly have changed my life. I am, therefore, what am I doing to interfere with it? And I think when I watch kickers naked and alone so many times in front of 80, 100, 120,000 people, let alone the billions that can watch you on TV now or rewatch you on TV or social, it comes down to I am. And for you, what does the book mean in an existential way to help people to live a life of I am?
Well, number one, to marry defeat and failure and falling short, whether it's a field goal falling short against Miami in the playoffs in 1990 from 53 yards, that would have won the game after 24 in a row. Not that I, you know,
don't remember. You're not thinking about that. Nobody remembers that.
But the mistakes and the rejections, because you have high standards, but then you start to ask the question, what really is high? And to me, living a life that really matters and helping everybody tune into their unique gifts. James has unique gifts, multiple unique gifts. David has unique gifts. And maybe the best gift of all is to ourselves permission to miss a field goal in front of millions badly and just dig deeper and come back and examine how we prepare, examine our commitment. And so everybody has unique pathways to a journey of a life that matters and help people see that. And then, of course, being connected to great mentors. I mean, how many people could say, James, that they grew up next door to a – I mean, think of the coincidence of this. They grew up next door to a Supreme Court justice, best friends with Bobby and John Kennedy, the same day, 6801 Hampshire Road. We were 6803 Hampshire Road, who led the NFL in rushing while he was at Yale Law School playing for Detroit and finished number one at Yale Law School. And was a swing vote on the Supreme Court for 31 years and was right in the middle of all the civil rights things when he was number two before that with Bobby Kennedy helping marshal as the U.S. Marshal, helping commandeer the school buses for the marchers into Selma, Alabama. How about that? Then when he died, almost at the same time that he died, a guy named Muhammad Ali moved in next door. Here wow. in Arizona, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with him. So how people handle their success, and somebody, of course, who had to handle his Parkinson's with dignity, with grace, is pretty wonderful stuff.
Wow. I mean, the coincidence is one way to possibly look at that, but I think it feels more divine, more yeah. the amount of unique and incredible accomplishments from all of those people. That's amazing. You know what's interesting? That just makes me think of how David and I met. And we haven't really told, I don't think we've told this story on the show, to be honest. I'll do it as quickly as I possibly can. But someone in his team said, hey, you should speak to James. They were a fan, reached out. We just did an Instagram Live, hit it off, had a great time. And I think it was the very next invitation you gave me, would have been 3 years ago now. And you said, hey, I'd love to have you on my podcast this summer. I'm going on a summer tour in the United States. I'm playing 45 shows. So I say, you know, yeah, I'd love to, but what are the, you know, chances are it's not going to work out. What's the date? You're kind of just being polite, but it's not going to work because, you know, playing 45 shows over 3 months. And he goes, oh, okay, it's in LA. It's at, oh my Lord, why can't I think of the stadium?
SoFi
Stadium. Mm-hmm. And it's on this date. And so I look at my schedule to be polite to tell him why I'm not there. And I go, wait a second, I'm playing LA that day. But I'm like, okay, it's still, what's yeah. your window when you want yeah. me there? He's like, oh, noon or one would be great. Yeah. And I'm like, well, let me look at my schedule. Holy shit, I'm playing LA Live. LA Live is in SoFi. It's the venue they built in the stadium. And then I look, go down to my yeah. schedule. I'm like, well, I'm probably not free. It's probably meet and greet. And it's like, nope, from 12 to 2 p.m., you've got a window.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know, serendipity. It was such a... incredible.
Serendipity is a great word, James, yeah. but yeah, I think it's certainly the being a wordsmith, right, is always helpful. I'm not sure. Sometimes I am. I write some poetry, but it's a higher word than serendipity. It's certainly a spiritual serendipity. It's that you're aligned and these coincidences happen. And you go, how did that happen? I mean, seriously, how did Muhammad Ali move in next door? And I have to tell you a really, really fast story, if that's okay, about Muhammad Ali. We took him to a Royals game. Dayton Moore was the general manager in spring training in Surprise. And they had it all worked out. So they had him a jersey, number one, and he had his sunglasses on. And we had all the golf carts so that he didn't have to walk far. And we went through the outfield gate. And people recognized him immediately from 100 yards away. And the whole stadium stood up. It was like a movie. And the game was incredible. Wayne Gretzky, the great ones behind us right here. George Brett's right here and Muhammad Ali's right there. After the sixth inning, he needs to go because his Parkinson's medicines, he's beginning to shake a little bit. And we were driving around in the golf cart and I see at the white Range Rover a crowd of kids and some adults. And I'm like, oh man, he's so tired. It's going to be tough. As he approached, he stopped shaking. Just stopped shaking. And he became like a black Santa Claus for all these kids with the most angelic, genuine, loving smile, one at a time taking photos with him. I just thought, man, this is greatness. You can talk about stuff in the ring with Sonny Liston and Joe Frazier, et cetera, but this is greatness. And what's interesting is how he evolved, like I hope we all evolve, from being a pugilist, right? A fighter, a deliverer of violence, mm-hmm. a graceful violence, but violence, to a man whose number one value is love. I think David's that way. I don't know you that well yet, but you know, what is love? You know, it's certainly an applied, accurate devotion to mm-hmm. the connection that we have one-to-one as human beings.
My favorite philosophy about coincidences is what we pay attention to and what we give our intention to. Saying, doing, thinking, feeling, and believing will equal the coinciding of the universe. So a lot of people don't, number one, pay attention to the coinciding of the universe, and two, they don't see what they're given when the coincidences arise. They see some sort of punishment if the evidence is contrary to where they think they want to be, like missing a field goal. You would think the evidence is contrary to where I want to be, but missing that field goal had a significant impact. Being rejected, James, from some of the things that you didn't get called on. For me, I'm built a brand called Made From Mistakes because nobody could have convinced me when I lost everything, including my mom's house, that somehow that would promote me, protect me, love, and perfect me. It sure seemed like punishment until I quickly changed the mindset to the coincidental occurrences, the coinciding of what I desire by giving intention. And one of the things I know about both of you gentlemen that I admire so much is you are very intentional, and there's a definiteness of purpose and love in your lives, which is why you are where you want to be. You don't accidentally get to where you are. It is coincidentally. It's attention and intention. And we started with the hard work, practice, and consistent behavior, and ending on that note as well. How important, Nick, is that consistent preparation, even today, as you're an author, a speaker, a philanthropist? You spend the majority of your time in service and value to others, but you're still very consistent about it.
The word I've been using a lot lately is consistency. The great people I've known in my life are the same the day I met them and 30 years later. Len Dawson, who was ended up being on my show, is called Head Games Radio. He was my Monday morning quarterback during the NFL season. And he could have hated me because he was the holder for Jan Stener. I beat out Jan Stener, took the job of a guy they thought would be the Chiefs kicker forever. But he was always the same person. Just that consistency is so important. And we are challenged to be consistent, right? I think the hardest thing is to have consistent choices in terms of who we surround ourselves with, so we bring out that consistency and the deeper values that hopefully we share with those people, how we spend time with, you know, people that love interests and obviously in business as well. So that's where the consistency comes more than anything. Because if we don't, there will be those mini dramas and maxi dramas that can knock us off. So, I mean, I'm James. I'm just going to interview you for 2 seconds. I bet you had a couple business opportunities, right, where you had to choose it. The product sounded great, but are these people that I'm going to work with for anywhere from a year to who knows how long? They'll represent me. I'll represent them. Are they the kind of people that I believe will be in congruence? That's, of course, what Think and Grow Rich is really primarily about, is that congruence of our deepest values. So I'm really asking your question.
Yeah, well, I'm finding a question in there. I'll find an answer as well. I think more and more being aligned, working with people who share the same values is more and more important to me than even skill set, than experience, than a lot of other things that might have been more traditionally how one would hire or one would go about going into business with someone. I want to work with people who are aligned fundamentally, and I want to be around people who are aligned fundamentally with what I want. And now you can talk about politics or religion or all those things, but I think what's more important than those and is intention. You know, what do we want out of this world, and what do we want for this world? And Nick, you spoke about love. And I've realized pretty recently that love is a verb. It's actualized through loving actions. So if you want to be loved, or you make the choice to love others, to put that intention, as David put, behind being loving and showing the world love. And without sounding too hippy dippy about it, I think that's extremely important. And it's made some decisions tough in life with people that I used to work with, or even people that I'm still working with, and wondering if that alignment truly is there and if it's something I want to continue or something I want to pursue. But ultimately, the more I make that decision, the more I surround myself with people like David and like a lot of the people that I'm lucky enough to be around, my fiance and people that I do work with, it ultimately gets easier because then there's really no question. There's just no, we're either on the same page with trying to do good in this world with good people and the rest we agree we're going to figure out, or we're not. And that's unfortunate, but I'm not going to waste time trying to convince, let's call it the 10% over here and the 10% over there, the extremists that I'm right and they're wrong. That's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a, sorry for a long answer, but it's, I think it's a deep question. And
it was great. Nick and I were with Jim Quick, one of our dear friends, and I admire him immensely for how enlightened he is. But he always tells me, Dave, life exists between the B and the D in the alphabet. It exists in the C, the choices that we make. And one of the critical choices, as you can see on the bottom, the book that's coming out, Super Bowl, is Don't Do Business with Dicks. And that's a choice in your quantum games you're making in your life. Regardless of the money, I'm not going to do business with dicks. And neither is Nick, but I will do business with Nick. That might be my next book.
Do business with Nicks.
Exactly.
Nicks. It's a much better rhyme. Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Nick Lowry and Nick Glaser. But I want to thank both of you gentlemen. Nick Lowry, where can people buy your book?
It's going to be literally, it's being published right now on Amazon. We're in negotiations with some folks that might end up taking it to a different level. I'd like to think it's a very unique story, being a legislative aide in the U.S. Senate and then trying one last time to make it and then playing 18 years and being the most accurate kicker in NFL history. I love the way that sounds.
I do too.
And I hope that that accuracy extends to a skill set in terms of hitting the targets that really matter in life. And that's where the book, I think, will hopefully hit people's hearts.
Thank you for writing it. Thank you for being our friend. Please promise.
I look forward to reading it, Nick. I truly do.
Nice to meet you, James. Love you, David.
Love you. Take care. What a great man. James Maslow, what's your takeaway of the day?
Man, the energy and humility that Nick has after, I mean, he referenced a game in 1990, the year I was born. I don't say that to make anybody feel old. I know you want to make a joke. I say that truly in admiration that he has been at such a level of success. And it sounds like I'm going to read in his book a lot more how diverse and how deep that goes and the multiple different fields he's worked in and been in. And he's still here so excited about what he's doing now. He is being present. And I think that's my takeaway today. Be present, choose to be happy, choose to love, put your intention in the moment and surround yourself with people who are like-minded.
Yeah, and I'm taking away a relationship at a different level to understand emotion and focus, because emotion can interfere with our focus. You know, if we get too high or too low, we're off our game. And, you know, it's a majesty of calmness that we can have, even if we're very emotional, empathetic people, and we can live at ease and live in this majesty of calmness that gives us clarity, harmony, focus to hit our targets and perform at our best and recover efficiently as well. Something that you do very well, recovering, and hopefully I can as well recover so I can perform better each and every day, even though other people will try to limit us with our own recovery capabilities. We're still here and we're taking the time to pour into our community. Looking forward to some bigger and better things for Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. It's happening because it's with James Maslow. James Maslow, I can't wait to see you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
David Meltzer, as always, appreciate your time, brother. Great to see you. See you
great
next
stuff, week. Man. You're amazing.